And doesn't he deserve our honor? You think about what Jesus Christ did. He could have defended himself. He didn't need 10,000 angels. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he didn't defend himself. He laid himself, his life, down for us, that we could have salvation. The greatest defender we could even think of. Psalm 121, the defender psalm. I think everyone who was alive September 11, 2001, and you were old enough, you probably remember exactly where you were, exactly what you were doing on that dreadful day. I was in my senior year at Bible College. I had been scheduled to preach at a Christian school chapel in Hickory, North Carolina. They would have different Bible college preachers come through and preach for their Christian school chapels. And so I remember I was heading toward there. It was a beautiful day, beautiful drive. And I remember I needed to get something to eat because I wasn't going to have time afterwards to get lunch. I had to get back in time for some classes. I think I had a quiz or test that day. And so I'm going to stop by McDonald's. You know, food's important. You know, you got to make sure you can preach well so you eat and have the energy. And so I'm going to stop by McDonald's and get me a brunch. And I remember walking in McDonald's, and the weirdest thing, they had the news playing over the radio in McDonald's. I mean, you might walk into McDonald's and hear elevator music or whatever, but you don't typically walk in and hear the news. And I thought, it immediately struck me as odd. And I remember as I was sitting there beginning to eat whatever I had ordered, they began to talk about this accident that had taken place, that this plane had flown into the World Trade Center. Now, my wife and I happened to have been at the World Trade Center about a month and a half before 9/11. We were traveling with the singing group for the college. We weren't married at that point, but we were traveling together, and I remember taking a picture at the base of one of the Trade Tower buildings, looking straight up, taking a picture of it. I remember we walked in the vestibule. We didn't pay the money to go up, but we walked in the vestibule. And so when I heard that, I thought, wow, that is crazy. And so, you know, you could just hear the urgency in the voice of this announcer there on the radio. And I looked over and I saw there was a hotel nearby. I don't remember if it was a Days Inn or whatever it was. And I thought, I got some time. I'm going to run in the lobby there and just see if they've got the TV on, see what's going on. And so went in the lobby, and I remember not long after I'd stepped in that lobby and they had the big screen TV in there, live I saw the second plane fly into the second tower. Of course, we all know is that at that point we knew this was no accident. This was a planned attack. I remember several things that struck me. The first thing I thought about was my dad, because my dad worked in downtown D.C., and they were talking about another plane that was heading toward D.C., and of course, these different ports are going. There's all sorts of chaos. Some things are being reported that aren't necessarily the case, but you know, you got all these different things that are coming up. But I was worried for my dad, and so I tried to call my dad. And you probably remember that day. If you tried to call anybody, you couldn't get through. It was just a busy signal. I was able to get through to my mom. I don't know why I was able to get through to her, but not my dad. But she had been able to talk to dad and said he was okay and he was trying to get home, and I don't know what time he ended up getting home. I remember thinking that day that everything's going to be different after this day. And it has been. I mean, wow, how has it changed our lives and our country? I remember that previous year, we traveling around with the groups, we would, you know, go sightseeing when we had the chance. I remember going to the Mint in Denver. I mean, they maybe had like a metal detector thing that you went through, but I remember the next year we tried to go there, you had to have Senate permission from your senator. They had to have prior permission for you to go there. I mean, we just walked in the year before. The next year, buddy, if you didn't plan for that thing 6 months in advance, you weren't going in there. Life really did change, did it not? I remember preaching to those kids that morning, and I think they had turned on a TV that they had there in the classroom. The kids had been able to see some of what had happened. I remember the fear on their faces. I mean, I had never had rapt attention like I had that morning as I preached in that Christian school chapel. Every eye was focused on me and listening to the Word of God. But I remember the fear on the faces of those kids. I remember how eerie it was to not see planes flying around in the sky. I grew up here in the Washington, D.C. area, grew up in Chantilly. And I think I pretty much all my life remember walking out and seeing some planes flying in the sky, hearing some plane noise probably. We were down there in near Charlotte, and it was similar there. There's constant plane traffic overhead. I just remember going out and looking up and not seeing any planes, not hearing any planes. How weird that was. And I remember most of all the feeling of helplessness. You know, you wanted to do something as an American. Yeah, what can I do? How can I help? What? And I remember just feeling helpless. What can I do? As the news agencies were showing various clips of what was going on, I'll never forget on the TV the constant pleas that were going out for help. I remember some were injured, crying out for help. Some of the first responders who had already been in harm's way were asking for help themselves. It was a desperate situation. And frequently you could hear the reactions of bystanders who would spontaneously cry out, "God, help us. God, help us." We know this morning the Bible makes it clear that God is the greatest source of help that any of us could ever have. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Verse 3, "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof," Selah, think about it, meditate on it. Think about the help that God is for our lives. And sometimes, you know, God sends help in the form of another person. And that's why we are having this special day today. Sometimes God puts someone in our lives who steps in a moment of trouble and provides the help that we need that makes the difference that needs to be made in our lives. Whether it's the help of a fireman who, when our house is on fire and our valuables are being destroyed, our lives are in danger, they step in and they help. Whether it's the help of a paramedic when our own physical life and well-being is in jeopardy, who comes to our aid and helps us. Whether it's the help of a police officer who protects us faithfully day and night from domestic harm, or whether it's the help of our military to keep us safe from the enemy abroad, there comes a point in all of our lives, if we're honest, that all of us need a little help. And that's the title of my message this morning. We all need a little help. When you realize that God is our greatest defender, you must seek His help in your life this morning. I want us to see three aspects of God's help, a help that every single person here is in need of today. Notice first of all, if you would, the standard of God's help. Here in Psalm chapter 121, we see the standard of His help. Now, a lot of times we miss these little things at the beginning of the chapter, but look down at your Bible. I think all of your Bibles would have right under the chapter there a title. What does it say there? Notice what it says. A song of what? A song of degrees. Sometimes we skip those things. We don't really pay attention to it. I think it's significant as we study Psalm chapter 121, what it says here. A song of degrees. What does that mean? Well, the word degree is the Hebrew word mahalal, and it means an elevation or a climactic progression. And that's what we have here in this psalm. Now, Psalms 120 through 134 are all called songs of degrees. And maybe as you read through your devotions, this will maybe make it interesting for you as you're studying through these chapters. But the idea is that the psalmist will mention something, some topic, and then he will go on to either elaborate on that. He'll step it up. He'll go another degree talking about whatever that is. Then he'll mention the next thing, and then he'll take that thing to another degree. It's really interesting to study down through it. Look at Psalm 120 and verse 1. Psalm 121 and verse 1. "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help." So here it talks about that looking to the hills. But notice the next verse. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And so the first verse talks about help from the hills. That would be a strategic position. We talk about military defenses. You study things in history. You know, having the high ground. That was important. That was a strategic position. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But then in the next verse, he talks about not just having a position from the hill, but having the position of heaven. looking down on this earth. And it's really interesting as you look down through this chapter and the other chapters to see the song of degrees. Look in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He talks about an individual protection. He's going to protect you. But notice the next verse, how he steps it up. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So he talks about the protection of an individual. Then he goes to talking about the protection of an entire country. He talks in the next verse about not slumbering. That's falling asleep. Then the next verse he talks about not sleeping. Completely being asleep. So you're going to see that as we go down to the message. This song of degrees. Notice how God's help this morning is a step above anyone else's help that we could have. You know, it's one thing to have help from a co-equal. Someone who's on our level. Another human being, someone, you know, who has strength similar to us. It's nice to have that help. The Bible says better are two than one. When one falls down, the other one can help him get up. That's a blessing. Let me tell you, it's a blessing to have the help of someone who is so much far above our own level. Notice, first of all, God's help is a strategic help. It's a help from a strategic position. Psalm 121 in verse 1, we saw, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You know, God is always in a position to see when you need help. You know, as parents, we're always looking out for our kids, aren't we? Times have changed. I remember when I was a kid, living over there in Chantilly. Now, Chantilly, back when I was a kid, was like the edge of civilization on Route 50. How many are from here and you remember that? I mean, my house, we lived in the Greenbrier area. That was like the end of Route 50. And the next thing you saw, if you're driving down Route 50, you saw the old Pepsi plant, you know, bottling plant that was down there on the left-hand side. But there was nothing else until you got whatever, you know, all the way down to what, Winchester or wherever. And so it was like the end of civilization. Well, as a kid, that was great because that was just places to explore, you know. And so I would get on my bike, and my brother was 8.5 years, so I was more or less like an only child, and my mom and dad both worked, and so I'd get on my bike, and I'd just go out exploring. I mean, but there'd be times when I'd go miles away from home, and I was out in the, you know, I'd go down to the stream that we had, you know, near our house, or I'd go out in the woods, and, man, I was just out exploring everywhere. You know, it's different today, isn't it? I think back to what I did. I wouldn't let my kids, they don't go outside the house unless we're there with them, pretty much. Times have changed. And, you know, part of it's because as parents, we want to protect our kids. And as times have become more dangerous and there's more things that could attack those that we love, we are more protective about those things. But, you know, one thing as a parent that's difficult is I can't always be there with my kids to protect them. I want to. It's instinctive for a mom or a dad to want to be there and protect the kids. But, you know, there comes a point where we can't always be there to protect those that we love. The fact of the matter is we are not God. But isn't it a great encouragement and peace in our hearts to know as parents that when we can't be there to protect, for whatever reason, we have a God who protects. God is always in a position to see when you need help. Notice God's help is the best help because, first of all, he knows the answers to the situation. He is all wise. Isaiah 40 and verse 28 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You know, he's in a position to help because he's got the answer. You ever been in a dire situation and in the moment, you just didn't know what to do? You didn't have the answer. Maybe it's because you'd never been trained to deal with that type of situation or whatever the case might be, but you were faced with a situation where you didn't have the answer. Now, oftentimes, you run into a situation like that, and what do? God, help. Give me wisdom. Help me to know what's going on. I've told this story before, but my dad, when I was a little kid, and mom, he was a pastor up in Maryland, and he came in, and he found me on the floor, lifeless. I wasn't breathing. And I remember he tells me this story. Obviously, I don't remember, but he comes in and he starts shaking me and he starts pounding me and he's trying to get me to breathe again. And he did everything he could think to do. And finally, he just laid me there on the floor. And thankfully, it was a quick prayer. But he said a prayer and said, Lord, you've given him to us. If you'll give him back to us, we'll give him to you for your service. And the Lord put on his mind the idea to just to check again and see if I was choking. And I was having a seizure and I'd swallowed my tongue. And so he put his finger deep in my mouth and my tongue was in the back of my throat and pulled my tongue out. And I began like a vacuum cleaner to suck the air in again. And of course, the Lord preserved my life that day. But, you know, you get in situations where you don't know what to do. Let me tell you who has the answer. It's the greatest defender we have. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's in a position to protect us because God's not affected by what happens down here on the earth. Sometimes we can't help somebody else because we've got to help ourselves. You know, the Bible talks about those that are strong helping those that are weak. But let me tell you, if you're in a position of weakness, you're in no place to help somebody else who's in need of help. That's why we as parents, we've got to make sure that our lives are spiritually strong. How can we help our children grow in the Lord and grow in the admonition of the Lord if we're not regularly feeding ourselves, filling our own cup up so that our cup can overflow in the lives of those that God has placed in our lives to minister to? We've got to place ourselves in a position where we can help others. And if we're weak spiritually, then we can't be the help to that coworker. We can't be the help to that child. We can't be the help to that person that God wants us to help. But I thank God that he's not affected by the things that take place here on this earth. Psalm 11, verses 3 through 4 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" You can hear the panic in the psalmist's voice here. Verse 4, I love this. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. So the world's falling apart. What do we do? Hey, it's okay. God's in heaven. He's not affected by what's going on here on this earth. I know we are. I know sometimes our lives are shaken to the absolute core. Have you been there? But isn't it great to know that even though we're shaken, God's not. He's in a position always to help you. You know, God's position in heaven gives him the perfect vantage point on everything that happens on this earth. You know, sometimes we'll go swimming with our kids and you know, we're always watching to make sure. And they're learning how to swim and doing better this year. But, you know, they don't always swim real good. And so you're constantly watching. But every once in a while, something happens where you don't see one of them, you know, and they're out of your sight. Aren't you thankful that we never slip out of the Lord's sight? Aren't you thankful that he always sees what's going on in your life? He understands how to take care of the problem. And he is able and willing to help us. He helps from a strategic position. Notice, secondly, he helps from a supreme position. Look at verse 2, the first part there. My help cometh from the Lord. Isn't it great to know who helps us? It's the Lord. It's the master. It's the ruler of heaven and earth. He's the one that helps us. You ever been in a store where the cashier, you ran into something where they just couldn't do whatever it was? Maybe it was processing a coupon, or maybe it was, you know, the thing was supposed to be so much money. You get up there, and it rings up like three times that price. I mean, how many has that ever happened? It's just all the time, it seems like. And the cashier just, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Well, could you call the manager over here? And so, you know, maybe an assistant manager comes over. Even sometimes I've had it where they come over. I don't know. We don't know what to do. But, you know, then finally, hey, well, could the manager come? The head manager. And the head manager comes over. Oh, yeah, no problem. Isn't it nice when someone who's in a great position, authority, steps in to help? Maybe you've had your boss personally come and help you with something, or an owner of the company or something like that. Boy, doesn't that really provide a great deal of help in the situation? Well, you know, when you're getting help from the top, there's nothing to fear. I mean, they know what's going on. They know how to handle the situation. And isn't it how the Lord is? Psalm 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do unto me. There's no need to fear. There's no need to worry and go around fretting. Why? Because the Lord's on our side. And by the way, he's at the top. So, when you're getting help from the top, there's nothing to fear. And God is in a position of authority where he can make happen whatever needs to be accomplished. He can make it happen. One day a rider came across a few soldiers who were trying to move a heavy log of wood. And they were doing it without any success. Meanwhile, their superior officer was standing by just watching as the men struggled. Well, the rider couldn't believe it. He finally asked the officer why he wasn't helping them. His response was, "I'm the corporal. I give orders." Reminds me when I worked for the lawn company. You know, I was always the guy, you know, doing the weed whacking, and the other guy just sat on the mower. You know, but anyhow, This guy wasn't going to help. I'm the corporal. I give the orders. The rider said nothing in response. Instead, he dismounted his horse. He went up and stood by the soldiers, and as they tried to lift the wood, he helped them. With his help, the task was finally able to be carried out. He quietly mounted his horse, rode over to the corporal, and said, "The next time your men need help, send for the commander in chief." The rider was none other than George Washington himself. Isn't it great when you have someone at the top to come and lend you a hand? And then notice not only help from a strategic point, help from a supreme position, help from a strong position is the next thing. Psalm 121 and verse 2. Notice the second part of the verse, which made heaven and earth. You know, it's one thing to get help from the hills. It's another thing to get help from the one who made the hills. And don't you think if he made everything that's around us that he knows how it works and knows how to fix the problems when they come up? Sure he does. If God made heaven and earth, then he can take care of whatever problems might be found therein. Maybe you've gotten to a point where you feel like there is no one who is able to help you. Psalm 3, verses 2 through 3, we see this sentiment, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." And so we've seen the standard of his help. There's no help like God's help. Notice number 2, verses 3 through 6, we see the scope of his help. The scope of his help. Look at verses 3 through 6. It says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Talking about the sun, yesterday I got to play in our soccer tournament. And I tell you, I just want to say publicly, I appreciate so much Brother Rezo Maseni. He is such a blessing in our church. Our ministry is a personal blessing to me, and I'm so thankful for his passion for souls and for his help with the soccer ministry. He coaches our soccer team, and he's not just a coach. He is constantly giving spiritual insight to his players. I learned a lot of things playing sports, a lot of spiritual things from my coach. And I thank God for Brother Moseni. We had a great day out there at the tournament. We had double what we had last year. How many teams do we have total, Brother Moseni? How many teams do we have total yesterday? 8 total teams, and so it's growing. We had several saved this past summer, several saved from the summer before, and so thankful for that ministry, but it was hot out. I have to say, it was hot out there yesterday, and we had to take some extra breaks for water breaks and whatnot. I just remember how hot that sun was, and man, you just couldn't wait to get in some shade, especially when you've shaved your head recently, and so I'm not used to that, man. I'm not used to burning from up on high, but boy, that shade's important. Well, you know, playing that game, sometimes you need help. And it was great. Our team, we won our first game, 5-4. It was a great game. We played hard, and we came up on top. We were tied, and in the end, we scored a goal. We won it 5-4. Now, we had 2 subs at that point. Well, we went to play our second game, which was going to determine whether or not we were going to be in the championship or not. And as we began that second game, almost immediately, our goalie got injured. And so there goes one guy down. Then, not much long after that, one of our strikers got injured. His ankle twisted. There goes our other sub. So now I'm in the game, okay? I was one of the subs, you know. I was supposed to be the support, but now I'm the player. And so we're out there in the field, and I'm the fullback. And so, you know, I'm the last guy they got to get through other than that goalie. And I just remember, it was so hot. The heat just sucked the energy out of you. And Brother Billy, you were there. You know, it was bad. And so, well, at a point, I was exhausted. I'm not made for this, you know, right now. And I'm out there running around like crazy. I'm trying to get in better shape, but I can just remember breathing so hard. Just, "Help! Sub! Oh, I forgot there's no subs left, you know? Help! No help!" And then I remember, you know, it wasn't just me. Our team, we were flabbergasted. And it came down, and toward the end of the game, they just had better conditioning than we did. And on many occasions, I had a 3-on-1 situation or a 4-on-1 situation where, as a defender, I'm saying, "Come back, help!" You know, in life, all of us have been in places where we needed help. And there wasn't the ability, or someone wasn't present around to help. Aren't you thankful that God is not in that position? While our help is limited by our strength, by our conditioning, whatever the case might be, notice the extent to which God is able to help. A, We see a full-time help. Notice the words there. You have the word slumber versus the word sleep. Again, this is that song of degrees. Psalm 121, 3 through 6, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The word slumber is the idea of dozing off. Okay, now anybody cannot doze off. I mean, I remember in Bible college, we just had some guys that would doze off. You know, and to their defense, they're working jobs, they're trying to take classes. But I just remember, you know what, anybody should be able to stay awake. And we had this one guy, his name was Chuck. And Chuck would just constantly fall asleep. And it was a smaller Bible college, and so it was a little more of a home atmosphere. The professors and the students knew each other pretty well. And Chuck would sit on the, they would sit him on the very front row. They'd had someone next to Chuck to poke Chuck, to help wake him up. I mean, they probably gave him toothpicks, to stick in his eyes. They were doing everything they could do to help him stay awake. He'd been talked to, he'd been approached about it. Well, one day, Dr. Comfort, who was the chancellor of the school, was preaching, and Dr. Comfort, he's sort of the grandfather of this school, and if someone falls asleep, he's going to deal with it. And so Chuck was on the front row, and I mean, he was out of it. And I'll never forget, Dr. Comfort looked down at Chuck and said, "Would somebody wake Chuck up? Up, Chuck, up, Chuck." And, just hearing that "up, Chuck" phrase, everybody just lost it, it was hilarious. But, dozing off is one thing. But to not sleep at all ever, that's a whole thing altogether, is it not? We talk about the Lord. It's one thing we can not doze off, but to not sleep? No, that's something only God can do. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. Maybe a military gentleman here remembers being on watch. And sometimes those watches get really long. I see Brother Billy nodding his head. I know he's been on the ship. And, you're just trying to be alert. I mean, that's what the watch is all about. And you're looking out for danger. You're looking out for the enemy. And that can be difficult. But, with some strength and some fortitude, you stay awake. But to not sleep at all, aren't you thankful we have a God that needs no sleep as he protects us? Notice not just full-time help, but large-scale help. Notice the comparison here, an individual versus a nation in verse 3 through 6. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. But then he steps it up in this degree. He says in verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Isn't it great to know that God is able to handle all of our situations at once? What a wonderful thing it is to know that we can come to a service like this and the word of God be preached and God can work in one person's heart in the way that he or she needs it, as God is working in everybody's heart in the way that they need it. Doesn't that just show the unbelievable power and help of God? I think about help, I think about kindergarten teachers. I was driving for the field trip on Friday, and the kids were going to Chuck E. Cheese. If you've never driven for kindergartners going to Chuck E. Cheese, boy, you've missed out on life, let me tell you. And you've never seen the amount of energy in one place until you've driven for a Chuck E. Cheese field trip. And you get in the bus, and first of all, they're all coming in, giving you high fives, whoops, whoops, hi, brother, and they're all excited. And then they get in the bus, and I don't know what the teachers do, but they say something like, you can't make noise until everybody's seated and we've taken off. But as they know the signal, because as soon as whatever the signal was, and they're going crazy, And I mean, by the time you get there, they've got this chant going on. Chuck E. Cheese, Chuck E. Cheese. And you can just see the windows of the bus just like bulging with every Chuck and cheese as they say it, And I love it because all the kindergarten teachers, every year they have this shirt on. It says, "Keep calm, I'm a kindergarten teacher." How many have seen the Keep Calm shirts, Well, I'm thankful that we've got kindergarten teachers because I don't know if I could handle that. And 100-some kids, I can handle 3 maybe, but 100-some kindergartners, boy, I tell you, God has blessed them. In all seriousness, when you think about the Lord, America needs help. I feel helpless oftentimes. We need revival. We need protection. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who can do it? I realize the Lord may be coming back. I understand that. I also know that God can send revival again. He can do it. I pray that he does. We have a God who can help on a large scale. Notice number 3, an all-encompassing help. Notice the words here, the shade on your right arm versus having complete coverage. In verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Notice how he steps it up in verse 6. The sun shall not smite thee by day, not just the sun, nor the moon by night. Now, the shade here represents some things. Notice, first of all, it represents God's protection. You see, the idea of the shade, he being the keeper, is the one who's next to you. He's on your right hand, that position of strength, and he's right by you, protecting you. I remember trying to get shade at the picnic. You know, we had that one tent. How many were out at the picnic, the kickoff picnic? It was great, but it was funny. I don't know if you paid attention to it, but the sun would move throughout the day, and then you've got the tent, you've got the shade, and it's sort of, the shade moves with the tent. And I just got a chuckle every once in a while to watch the people just sort of like move with the shade, you know. Everybody's trying to stay under the protection of that shade. Shade represents a protection. God is our protection in life. Notice shade represents God's proportion. It represents his size. I remember when I was younger, how many of you ever played with shadows when you were younger? Come on, admit it. You played with shadows. Okay, maybe you played with your own, you know, doing a little animal or something, you know. Or maybe you played in your parents' shade. I remember playing in my parents' shade. And I would, you know, again, I was sort of like an only child, so I just sort of found ways to have fun, you know. And we didn't have, you know, all the games and stuff they've got today and internet and cell phones and all that kind of stuff. And so you just had to entertain yourself. And hey, we got along just fine, didn't we? We had a good time. And so I remember, you know, we play games like you can't step on a crack as you're walking along. And my kids love this game, you know. And so you're walking along and you got to hop over the cracks. And all of a sudden there comes a bunch of cracks on this one piece of concrete. And I love to just sort of push them over in that crack, you know. And we have a good time. But I remember playing as a kid in my dad's shade. And the game was I had to stay in his shade. If I didn't stay in his shadow, then, you know, I'd get burned up or I'd blow up or something like that, you know. And so, of course, it was a lot easier to stay in my dad's shade than it was to stay in my mom's shade because my dad was bigger. And so I always like to try to play in my dad's shade. You know, that shade, it really does represent size. When we talk about the shade that God provides, wow, it's such a shade that the sun's not going to hit you, nor is the moon going to hit you. God is so big. He is such a great help and such a great protection. He is so big. Notice the shade represents God's proximity or his nearness, where he is to you. And I remember as a kid, you know, sometimes I wouldn't be paying attention where my parents were, but that shadow was sort of that signal for me. And you're walking along, and you're playing, doing these little games and whatnot, and all of a sudden the shadow's gone. And you realize you're not with mom or dad anymore. You're not near to them. You know, the shade represents in our lives the fact that God is near. We already quoted the verse. It talks about he's a very present help in time of need. Isn't it great to know? God is near. Now, that doesn't mean that we're close to him in our hearts necessarily. But can I encourage you today? Being close to God is as simple as confessing your sin today, getting things right with him. You may feel like God is so far off. Let me tell you, God hasn't gone anywhere. It's us that stray off. But the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, you can have a walk with God that's clean, that's close today, before you leave this service, if you'll just confess, agree with God about your sin, repent, and get it right, get things right with him. Isn't that great? And so the scope of his help. Notice the last thing here, we see the sovereignty of his help. You see, there's a help that God can provide that only deity, only God can provide. I see two things here. I see, first of all, a physical help versus a spiritual help. Again, we have the Song of Degrees here. And in verse 7, it says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Okay, so here's a physical help. And, you know, we can help. That's what Defenders Day is about. There's a defense against physical dangers. And we honor these men and women that help us. And that's important. But then notice he steps it up to something that only God can do. And that is that he shall preserve thy soul. Now, let me talk about this for a second. All of us need protection for our souls. And the Bible makes it clear why. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you might be sitting here this morning thinking, well, okay, you're calling me a sinner? Well, yeah, the Bible tells us that we're sinners. And you say, well, what are you saying? I'm a murderer? You're saying that I'm an adulterer? What are you saying? I'm saying that we've all offended God's law. And whether it's the fact that I have lied at some point in my life, whether it's the fact that at some point as a kid I disobeyed my parents, the fact of the matter is that all of us have then done things that are wrong. And God, being the holy God that he is, the clean and perfect God that he is, will not allow sin into heaven. He'll not allow anybody with sin into heaven. So the fact of the matter is we have to have our sin paid for. It has to be washed away before we can go to heaven. Isn't it great to know, though, that God this morning is offering to you a help that only he can offer, and that is the help to save your soul. Isaiah 45 and verse 22 says this, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The Bible says there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. See, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Look, going to heaven is not easy. But in a sense, too, it's not hard. Because Jesus Christ has made a way for us to get there. You can't earn it on your own. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And let me tell you where it's hard. The hard part is that we have to depend on him. We have to put faith in him. See, it's all of our natures to want to try to work our way to heaven. We think that we've got to do this to get to heaven, and we think we've got to do that to get to heaven. So often when I ask people if they know for sure they're going to heaven, a lot of times their response is, "Well, yeah, I try to do good things." Listen, the Bible says that all of our righteousness, the good things that we do, are as filthy rags. Now that's in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for us when he came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for our sins. Who are we to offer our filthy rags, our righteousnesses, when God in his love, John 3:16, sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins? Why would he need to come if we could save ourselves? The fact of the matter is, we can't help ourselves. This is a sovereign help that we need. And only God can save us from our sins. But notice, not only a physical help versus a spiritual help, I'd like you to notice a temporal help versus a permanent help. It says there in the last verse, verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy goings out and thy coming in." But notice the last statement there, "from this time forth and even forevermore." Do you know salvation is eternal? When God said that we put our faith in him, he'll give us eternal life, the Bible says God does not lie. And when he promises us eternal life, guess what we get? Eternal life. The Bible says that we pass from death unto life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. It says there's no more condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, what a great blessing it is to know that God's help is not a temporary help. Hey, look, there's a lot of folks in here that have provided some great help in Defenders Day. But all of us, if we're honest, there's a limit to how long that help can go. I have good news for you. God promises to preserve your soul if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ. So we conclude looking at the help that God offers. I want to leave you with an acrostic of how we can apply for God's help personally in our lives. Four things that we'll just use as acrostic help, and I hope this will be something that will help you apply this message today. First of all, H is hope on earth. You know, God provides for us. His help is a hope on this earth. And don't we need a hope in the day and age in which we live? The Bible says in Psalm 31 and verse 24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." But I think about those that don't have the Lord. What do they do when problems come? Where do they turn? We look to the hills. We look to heaven. What about your neighbor who doesn't know the Lord? Won't you offer them the hope that's in Jesus Christ? Notice E, eternity in heaven. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We've all done things that are wrong, and we deserve to die and go to hell for it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only way to live forever in a place where help will no longer be needed is through accepting the gift of God that he offers to all of us freely. And then L, H-E-L, love without. You know, all of us have a desire to be loved in life. Every one of us. Now, I know we can act big and tough as guys sometimes, but every one of us without exception, we want to be loved by somebody. You know, God is the reason for that love. The love first came from him. We love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. And then the Bible commands us that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. This is the greatest command. But you know what the second one is? To love your neighbor as yourself. And let me tell you something. If there's any love in this world left today, it's not because of our nature. It's because of what God has done in our lives. And transforming our lives and having the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, the Bible says. You can have his love. And notice P. Love without and peace within. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You go through a deep trial. It's only God that can have that peace in your heart. Others look at it and say, I don't understand. Doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't. But God gives a peace that passes all understandings. And when everything around you is crumbling and everything around you is being shaken, you can have a peace within that only comes from God. Numbers chapter 21, the people had sinned greatly. Children of Israel had sinned greatly against God in the wilderness. And they were complaining time and time again. And so the Lord punished their sin. He punished them by sending serpents. And these serpents came and they would, the Bible says they bit the people and the people were dying from these serpent bites. You know, it's interesting that serpent represents sin. We think about when sin was introduced into this world, it was through that serpent who tempted Eve. And so you've got a representation, a picture. Those serpents represented sin. And the people, they couldn't do anything to save themselves. I'm sure that they tried to apply medicines. I'm sure that they tried to do whatever clinical things they could do to try to preserve their lives, but they couldn't do it. And they were dying left and right. It was a tragedy. And they came to Moses. They said, Moses, what do we do? What can we do? And Moses came to God and prayed, and God said, look, here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to make a brazen serpent. I want you to put it up on a staff. And anybody that will look upon that staff with that brazen serpent will be healed. Have you ever seen the symbol for paramedics? Have you ever seen the serpent on the... Where does that come from? Numbers chapter 21. Now listen to this. I'm sure there were people that thought it was too easy. What? You mean all I got to do is go look on this thing and it's going to make me better? They've already tried to give me medicine. They've already tried. The doctors already said that. They said there's no hope. Wait, I have to go look. Are you kidding me? Yeah, there's a lot of people that look at salvation. That's too simple. What? I just have to put my faith in the Lord. I just have to accept his gift. That's too simple. And there's people that will miss heaven because in their minds it's too simple. But aren't you thankful God made it so that anybody can get saved? And if anybody will look up to Jesus Christ, who was erected on a cross, who became sin for us, even though he knew no sin, the Bible says, he was lifted up for us. So that if we'll look to him in faith and accept him as our Savior, he'll give you the ultimate help in saving your soul. Today, God's help is available. All you have to do is ask for it. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a little while, we'll have a chance to honor our defenders that are here today. But before we do that, I think it's appropriate that we honor God, who is the greatest defender. Now, let me tell you how you can honor him. You can honor him by obeying him. He said in the scriptures, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we saw in one of the scriptures today that one of his commandments is that you be saved. God doesn't want you to die and go to hell and pay for your own sins. He already took care of that. He sent his own son in love to die on the cross for you. What greater help could there be? Maybe you're sitting there today and for whatever reason, pride, because you think it's too easy or it doesn't make sense. But God says if you'll look to Jesus Christ in faith, he'll save you from your sins. I wonder today if there's someone here that would say, Pastor Brandon, the truth is I need that help that no one else can provide. I've never put my faith in Jesus to save me from my sins, but today I need his defense in my soul. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Nobody's looking around, but you would give me the privilege by an uplifted hand just to say, would you pray for me? Anybody like that today would say, that's me. I need to be saved. I need God to preserve my soul. And you'd raise your hand and say, pray for me. Anybody like that at all? I'd like to pray for you. My prayer won't save you, but I'd like to pray that you would accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, that you'd take that step to look to Christ for salvation. Anybody like that at all? Christian, what kind of defender are you being? Are you defending your neighbors from hell by giving them the love of Christ? Are you protecting your families by keeping out the influences of this old world? Destructive influences that Satan would love to use to destroy your home and your family and your life. Maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning about being a better spiritual defender in your home. Let me tell you, we've got the greatest help on earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you come this morning and get his help? Father, I pray that you would work in hearts as only you can. We thank you for the defender that you are. Thank you for the salvation that you provide and for the many blessings that we enjoy as Christians. I pray this morning as we have this invitation that you would help as only you can. In Jesus' name.